invested in him. There's a lot of stuff that we can do in this life that maybe very wise courses to take, and yet we are still not necessarily guaranteed a return on the investment that we make. Whether it's time or whether it's money or whatever, you can do all your research, you can be very wise about it, you can still come up and lose out on that investment. But I thank God that He lets us know that there is always a return on the investment that we make in Him. The Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Bearing, it's one of those. Do you get that yet? It's one of those. But, a lot of times, and actually I think this is true, a lot of times I feel like I'm not doing the Lord what I should do. But at the same time, I think probably there's things that we all do in God's name that we don't think anything about it. But God is looking on that differently. We don't see the benefit of it a lot of times. How many of us, are teaching our children, right? We're reading to them out of the Bible, we're praying with them and doing those things, and we get in this kind of rhythm and, a habit. You form a good habit, that's a good way to stick to it. But you don't think about the impact of it, right? Or at least I get this way. We look at that as like, well, whatever, that's just what we do, But that's an investment we're making in the kingdom of God. Every minute we spend in God's word with our family, that's an investment in our primary mission field. That's what God called us to first before we do anything else. And one day we're going to be bringing in them sheaves. Amen. Hopefully that means that we're going to have our children with us in heaven.
Amen.
That choice is still up to them, right? Us being the parents that we're supposed to be, that doesn't take away their free will. They still have free will, right? But at the same time, God's going to reward that. We know that He is.
Yeah.
So I appreciate, the guaranteed benefits of God's plan. Man's got some plans that don't guarantee benefits, but God's does. So I appreciate those for us.
The Bible says, that those were born in 1 John, says they were born, the will of God. They weren't born of blood. They weren't born of, basically saying that God was having grandchildren.
Right.
By the will of man, because somebody drug you to the altar. But nevertheless, the Bible also says this. It says, train a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives us the promise that if we just do our part, but it also gives us a reality check that, often we fail.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather, as good as God the man as he was, his speaking of my dad not being in church, and he mentioned that Bible verse, he said, and that I failed. And I said, well, Papa, I'm sure he was a good dad. And he talked about it. He said, if that were the case, he said, then he would still be there in church. And he said, all I can do now is just pray for him. But I got to think about that, and I thought, man, if Papa couldn't do it right, really none of us can.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? And so at the end of the day, we can do all we can, but man, we've got to really surround them in prayer. Because that's what it takes. It just takes a supernatural movement of God.
Yes.
And, I feel like, especially nowadays, children and young folks is probably more heavily satanically influenced than any generation in America, at least beforehand.
Yeah.
And so, we by all means, absolutely, raise them the very best of our ability. But more than anything, we ought to really be praying for them.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, there's another place in the Bible, and I can never remember where it is, so I was going to look it up, but it says something effective. We've all had earthly fathers.
Yeah.
And they chastise us after their own pleasure.
Yeah.
But God, it's always for our benefit. And it reminds me, sometimes as a dad, I don't go about discipline the right way. Sometimes I mess it up. But God gets it right every time, man. He don't make any mistakes. Sometimes we might have some questions, but He knows what He's doing every single time. So I kind of, it's nice to have a good example too, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father, He always does it right. Before I forget, Brother Matt wanted me to mention this, and that's a good provide a lot of Bible gospel starting Sunday night. Preacher Keith Allison, you said it goes through Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
That's what I told him. I've been driving by that sign every time I come here,
yeah.
And the dates just kind of if you can see something and it go in one ear and out the other, it's that. Like, I don't know how you describe that, but it just, I guess among everything, it's not been sticking in my mind. But so y'all be much in prayer for that. Be much in prayer for our Christmas play, that the Lord would use that. Remember our parades, we got those coming up. When is the first one? It's here pretty soon, ain't it?
Eighth.
Yeah, that's right. You said that. You said that Sunday.
In the next Saturday's Drexel and Rutherford College.
Yeah.
We still need candy.
Amen. Amen.
We got them lollipops covered. We got plenty of those. We just need individually wrapped candy.
Amen. Amen. Everybody remember this.
Pray you're done, give them money. Give them to me or share one. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. Amen. And remember the Operation Christmas Child. If Miss Ellie's going to take your box, she's going to have it by Sunday, right? By Sunday. So, and now again, like I said, if there, for whatever reason, you just can't get it ready in time, look up on their website. There's other drop-off places. But so just remember that Sunday and just pray that the Lord would bless that that ministry there. Because if you hear Preacher Franklin talk about it, he'll tell you. He says it's about the gospel. It's about getting the gospel to these children. So do remember that. And wonder who's got a request for prayer about this. Remember all these, Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian, some of them was talking about before service that there was a wreck in front of their house, fell on a motorcycle.
Christine's yard.
Oh, it was in y'all's yard. The fella was evidently at some point during the course of events running from the police and ended up hitting a tree and get killed on a motorcycle. So I don't know if the fella had any family or anything like that, but just I mean, obviously, it's too late to pray for this man. He already is where he's going to be, but pray for that family, you know, and just anybody that hears or comes to an understanding about that, the Lord might use that to open their eyes. Because that's one of the things that I was pointing out to the children. I don't remember what the context was, but the fact of the matter is we're going to die.
Yeah.
Unless Jesus comes back and gets us before that time, every one of us in here is going to lay these bodies down. And really, I mean, when Jesus comes, we're laying them down, right? I mean, it's really all one and the same to a Christian. So we better know where we're going, you know, when we leave this life. And I thank God that He gives us, you know, we can have assurance
said,
what He's done.
Said they had to pick up pieces of that motorcycle.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Remember this situation. Remember this young family, this young lady that got killed that goes to East Burke here, what was it, last week? Last Sunday. It's her name's Lily, I think. It was the young lady that went to East Burke.
She's 16. She got her mom. Raising
their grandkids,
and
on top of
that, she's got a 4-year-old and a
22-year-old,
so she's
kind of
just praying.
Amen. Amen. Continue to remember Jane, if you would. just pray the Lord would help us as we do the part of the family and try to minister to her. Just pray that God would give us wisdom and discernment, that He would strengthen us in that. The hospice is going to provide some equipment for us, so we thank the Lord for that. They're going to get us a bed and some different things that she's going to need. So as far as I know, all of the material needs will be taken care of. So we're not really concerned about stuff like that, but just pray that God would give us the words that we need to minister to her spiritually. And just pray that God would remind us, you know, that it's not up to us to convince her of anything. All we can do is present the gospel to her and let the Holy Ghost do His work. That's another place where I mess up, because I'm afraid, well, I'm not going to be able to say it right, and I'm not going to be able to do this or that. You know, it's so easy for me to forget that, you know, that part's not my job. it's so easy to get caught up in that and be worried that I'm going to say the wrong thing or something's not going to come out right. So just pray that the Lord would help us, that we would remember that we just got to pray and yield ourselves to Him and let Him speak through us what He desires to have said, and then leave it up to Him. So pray for that situation if you would.
Remember Scott, pray for that tree.
Yeah, yeah, Ms. Sherry was saying he's still not comfortable enough to, you know, wear normal out and about clothes. So I told her I figured probably that being the case, it is maybe better that if he stayed home, you know. But I said, I don't know, maybe you could. That's what I said, you could wear a Spider-Man outfit, that should really have a tight waistband. We had Spider-Man in the recording booth tonight, but no, do pray for Scott. He's still got a little bit left to go in that journey from what Ms. Sherry told me. So just pray that God will give Scott grace, and will you continue to thank the Lord for his great mercy and the work that he did in Scott. Appreciate everybody remembering Mama, too. She's still doing pretty good. I mean, she's still having some trouble, but nothing like what she was. And she's got some kind of procedure coming up. Oh, well, I guess it already happened. That would have been Monday, I think. She was talking about a Sunday. And Mama was a little bit mixed up as far as what she was having done when. So now I'm a little bit mixed up. So I don't know what it was that she had done Monday, but I'm sure that if anything, you know, didn't go right, I would have found out about it. So so just pray for Mama. They still have yet to do the cauterization on her heart. I do know they still have yet to do that to try to keep it in rhythm. So remember that if you would. Continue to remember Brother Robert. I know he's been in several services since he's been with us. Has anybody heard from him? Okay. Continue to remember him. Continue to remember Brother Randy. Continue to remember Brother Fred. Is he still kind of, is he hanging in there? Is he doing okay?
Yeah, he's gained a little bit of weight since he's been in rehab. He's doing better.
Good.
And hopefully he'll be home in the next 10 days.
Okay. Amen.
Pray that when he gets home, he'll be able to take care of himself.
Yes.
That's a lot. Pray for my sister. She takes a lot on.
Mm-hmm.
I know she gets overwhelmed. She's got her son and his two boys living with her too right now in their seat. So just remember her.
Amen. Amen. Her name's Jessica, isn't that right?
Well, this is my other sister, Sheila.
Sheila, okay. Okay. Just remember her.
Still remember Barbara.
Yes.
And Gary. Boy said Gary is just sort of in denial of the whole thing.
Still.
How the doctors talk to them.
I'm guessing she still hadn't found out for sure the date of her surgery yet.
She hadn't. I had to talk about the
okay. Continue to run over these. And now, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble keeping up with the timing. Have you had any more of your tests done, Brother Greg?
I went a week ago and had the other MRI stuff. But it's going to be another 3 months before I do another one. I go back to get the results of the heart chat. I mean, the heart monitor and stuff a couple of weeks.
Okay. So continue to remember, Brother Greg, you're still apparently a little bit back and forth on what exactly they think is going on. So just pray for it. Show those doctors what it is that they need to see, and that the Lord will work whatever healing is His will in that situation there. Continue to remember him, the boyfriend's dad. Is he doing okay? I mean, like, still better, or?
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. He can, like, get around and walk and stuff. The only thing he just says, like, some crazy things, like, he's not really good mentally, but he's doing a lot better than he was.
Okay, good, good. Continue to remember this. Continue to remember the nation of Israel. There's still a lot going on over there. just about every day, something happens as far as, you know, whether it's Hamas or somebody, you know, attacking them, or there's, you know, some kind of lone wolf terrorist shooting kind of thing. I mean, there's just, it's something just about every day over there. A lot of stuff committed against civilians. They're not even necessarily going after the military, but that's, I mean, that's the way those folks are. That's how they operate. I just pray that God would bless and help and protect the nation of Israel, and I'm encouraged some. You know, I know a lot, they were mentioning on the radio today, and I don't mean to take up a bunch of time with this, but just pointing out how many people are just acting like the world has been saved because Donald Trump won the election. And I'm just like, that's just so, I mean, it's that's to the point that I would call it silly. I mean, it's just silly. I mean, he's just a man. Yeah. But I am encouraged in the fact that I think we have every reason to believe that under the administration of Donald Trump, President Trump, our nation will be far more supportive of Israel officially. I think the hearts of a lot of the people have been with Israel this whole time, but I think I see probably in our future, if things go according to the way they have in the past, hopefully we'll be a little more supportive of them, you know, in the federal government, and that's encouraging to me. So absolutely, we need to pray for our nation. It's not time to give us this, like Preacher Stoney said, it's not time to slack off and just pretend like everything's going to be all right now. It may be that God has just given us a window of opportunity to seek his face even more. Amen. You know, that our nation might be turned from the spiritual problems instead of the real problems. Just like he said, we didn't have a Joe Biden problem. We have never had a Joe Biden problem. We don't have a Kamala Harris problem. We have a sin problem. And that's what has been the whole thing. That's what has been the whole time. The leaders of the nation are always symptoms of the problems with the country. Yeah. Not the cause. They're never the cause. They're the symptom, because God gives a nation rulers according to the heart of the people. We see it in the scripture. Mm-hmm. That principle is clear through there. But I think he has shown some mercy.
Just think about this. Think about this. When Donald Trump is your best option,
Yes.
But like I said, when that becomes your best option,
yes,
religiously speaking,
yeah,
biblically speaking, you've got a problem.
Yes.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I mean, to us, he seems, you know, like just such a wonderful leader, but look at his flaws. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, just considering that, I mean, that's the state of affairs in which we find ourselves.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Amen. Just continue to pray that God will give us a spiritual revival, which is, I mean, that's the answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer to everything. Right. And it's, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it don't stop being true just because we get kind of used to hearing it. It's absolutely the truth. But who else has got a request this evening? Alright, that's all. I'm going to pray.
I'm going to do it with so much knowledge to the machines and the
Speaking of Donald Trump, I found out something interesting the other day. He worked with a publishing company, and him and Lee Greenwood, you know who Lee Greenwood is? He sings God Bless the USA, that song, you know? Well, they got together and put out a Bible together. And it's just the Bible, but it's got, you know, the words of the Constitution in it, and it's got some different things in it about the Bible's relation to patriotism and, you know, how we're founded in it and everything. And I thought that was pretty cool. But what I really thought was cool about it was that they chose to do it in the King James Version.
Amen.
And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, be to come from the white, or you're somebody in government, period, you'd think that it'd be, I'd be tickled to death to hear a president say that they was sponsoring a Bible. If it was the NSD or something. I mean, just the fact that they was getting behind the Bible. Yeah. But then they said it was the King James Version. I said, hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Praise God for that. I don't know if the man's saved, but hey, hopefully he'll read that Bible too. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't want him, I'm glad he's a patriot, but I don't want him just to be a patriot. I'd love for a man to be a Christian.
Amen.
Hey, I rejoice. If Kamala Harris got saved, I don't know if Hillary Clinton got saved and confessed all the murders she's had committed. It'd be a blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
Amen.
I thank God for allowing us to be here.
Amen.
You know, I like that song, Bringing in the Sheaves.
Yeah.
I like hearing it sung. I don't like trying to sing it. I feel like Sherlock Holmes couldn't find the right lyrics to that song.
Yes.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, why is this thing jumping back and forth? I'm like, who writes this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'll never sing that song until I come here.
Yeah.
And I said, the first time I remember singing that song, I was like, you know, what are we doing? And then I realized, you know, that somebody just wrote it backwards. I don't know.
They had to fit in that whole spot.
I guess, I don't know. But I mean, it literally goes down here, jumps down here, and it jumps back up here, and it jumps back again. And then I'm like, man alive, why would you jump mid-sentence, you know? But in any case, I don't know nothing about music. Some of y'all musicians might be thinking, do you not know about the little symbols? No, I don't know about them. I know how to read sentences. They start from the left, they go to the right, they work their way down. You know what I mean? That's what I learned in English class. But in any case, but I like hearing that song singing. You know, it's talking about you got to guarantee that for what little bit you do, God will multiply it greatly for His kingdom.
Amen.
I think about that often. I think about just what little I do that you really couldn't count as nothing at all, and how God uses that, how blessed I am. You know, God don't need me.
Amen.
He don't need you. It's my honor, my privilege to get to serve God.
Yes,
there's nothing that brings me greater joy than getting to serve God.
Yeah.
I went deer hunting Monday, and I seen a big buck. And I hardly got to hunt much last year, just different things going on. This year we've had that house going on, I ain't hunting off one bit. And something happened to me, it ain't happened since I was a teenager. I got the shakes. I used to just, you know, I'd get a little bit tore up after I'd shoot one, but for years now, you know, it just didn't. But for some reason, it got me. And I seen that thing, and I could not hold that gun steady. And he let me shoot at him twice with a muzzleloader. And I missed him both times. Matter of fact, the third time, I was walking up the ridge and seen him when I shot. But the third time, I could have probably hit him. Because after the first time I shot him, he run closer to me. And I reloaded my muzzleloader, if you don't know how much you gotta put the powder in, you know, and you gotta put the bullet in, you gotta ram it down in there, and you gotta put the cap in the back of it. But I was shaking so bad, I couldn't get all my reloading stuff put back in my fanny pack. And so I just dropped it on the ground. And I took about 10 steps forward and hid behind a big poplar tree, because he's coming down the hill on the side of the ridge like this, coming closer to me. And first time I shot, he's probably 150 yards. The second time, he's about 80 yards. Well, after I shot the second time, he run even closer. Now, I had run from back here and hid behind this poplar tree. And he keeps coming closer. Now he's got like 30 yards away. But I ain't got nothing reloaded because I left it laying on the ground. So anyways, he got away. But, you know, I thought about that when I sat there. I thought, man, I have hiked way up here. I drove up here. And, you know, I put a lot of effort into this. This ain't but this one-time hunt. And every time I go hunting, I put this much effort into it. And you know what? That joy, if I would have killed that deer, it fades so quickly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I get a lasting joy by what a little bit of effort that I put into serving God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, he's worth it.
Yeah.
And that's where my joy is. And I believe that's where it ought to be. You know, that's where we derive our greatest joy. We don't even realize it. We chase everything else, and we pursue everything else that is not fortuitous. How do I say that word? You know what I mean? It's not fruitful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't ever give us any lasting joy.
Right.
I mean, think about how long it would take you to get. You know, I think a new Corvette's up close to $100,000 now. If you wanted like a Z06 or a nice one, you know. I think about, man, how long would it take you to get $100,000 extra? You know what I mean? That's a long time. I don't know if I could get that much money in my lifetime to just pay for a car. And, man, that joy just wouldn't last no time, especially in my house. There'd be some kid on a scooter coming whizzing by and zip right across the side of that thing. I know it would, the first day I had it. But I know this, that without ever having to lift a finger and work it off, this by walking in the store, telling somebody God bless you, hearing somebody tell somebody else something about something they're going through and say, hey, listen, I'm going to pray with you, putting your arm around and pray with you.
Yeah.
Just seeing somebody down their luck and having a rough time in life and offering them the gospel. Man, those are the greatest blessings in my life. They really are. Yeah. Getting a pastor of a church that loves me, loves one another, loves my family. Them things bring joy that don't cost me a dime.
Yeah.
And it lasts. And it remains. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said that joy might remain.
Yeah.
That means it don't fade away. You know, they spun in just about anything worldly for a season, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But it fades away. But I got a joy that remains.
Amen.
I would encourage you tonight to give serving God a try. You say, well, preacher, I am serving him. Well, just do it more.
Yeah.
It'll make you happy. It'll bring you joy.
Amen.
Everything else can seem empty in life, but just telling people about Jesus. Just lending a helping hand, praying for somebody. Just opening the Word of God and reading it more. That'll bring you joy.
Amen.
It really will. And I thank God for it.
Hey.
All right, somebody want to sing tonight before we get started? Go ahead. I realized I didn't get to let everybody sing Sunday. Somebody, Cambry reminded me. Was it you that reminded me? Somebody reminded me. Said, hey, you didn't let nobody sing. I said, I'm sorry, honey. I got excited Sunday. I was shooting early, just like I did on that deer.
Thank you.
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, if you got your Bibles, we'll be back in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Just take it easy. You don't have to worry about the stress or everything. Matter of fact, I'd rather make her do a lot than any woman should be required to do, especially with this house stuff. I get overwhelmed, aggravated about having to make phone calls and line things up, so I put her up to doing a lot of that stuff, and I'm glad that she's capable of it. But nevertheless, she'll tell you this, and I know a lot of you ladies know this to be fact as well, that whenever you follow God's design, and instead of being so independent, whenever you begin to put that dependence on your husband and realize that it is his responsibility to be a leader in the home, and whenever you begin to prop him up in that position and to put dependence on him, then there's a burden that's lifted off of you. You're alleviated of some things because you realize then that God will not hold you accountable for the direction of the family.
Right.
He will hold the husband accountable. That's scripture. That's biblical. That is the way it will be. And so in the same sense, we as the church all together as one body, just as that Christ is the bridegroom, we are the bride.
Right.
In that same sense, whenever we put all dependence on him and quit trying to be so independent, and I'm going to do it myself and I'll take care of it, whenever we just say, honey, you got it, and we put our trust in him, our Savior, our Lord, then we're able to be alleviated of some of that stress, of some of that anxiety, of some of those things that weigh down on us. But yeah, we want to keep them things on us. We want to keep on doing it ourselves. And so instead of just putting that off and saying, what did he say? He said, my yoke is easy. Right? My burden is light. Amen? I mean, he says, I carry the majority of the weight. He says, I just ask you to do a little bit. Just follow me is all he asks. Just follow me. Yet, we want to tell Jesus which direction to go sometimes, don't we? We say, well, we're following you, Lord, but why don't you take a right here? You know? That's the way we want to do. And that doesn't work that way. And so we stay overwhelmed. We stay feeling the weight of our insufficiency. But whenever we really let go of that, we say, you know what? I know I'm a failure. And I know that no matter what, that the salvation I have received is by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason that I am who I am. And it's been by the grace of God. Whenever we can say, you know what? I never wised up in to begin with. And it's not as if I became smarter one day and started doing right. But everything that I am today is by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And we realize that it's all been God all along. Then we can say, Lord, I just want to trust you from here on. And we'll still go through times. I go through times. Maybe you have the benefit and you're fortunate enough to be so full of faith that you don't ever have those times. And if you do, I'll praise God with you. But I still go through times where I tend to want to just take care of things myself. And I just want to say, well, Lord, I don't really need you for this. I don't want to bother you with this. I'm just going to handle this. And, you know, I get that overwhelmingness, you know, because what it is I'm just not trusting God. I'm not leaving it with God. The Bible says, except God is in it, you build in vain. Except God is in it, the watchman waketh but in vain. And the same goes with me raising my children. Except God is in it, I'm doing it in vain. Because I want him to be the center of everything that we do. I don't want church to be a place that we visit a few times a week. I want it to be the place we come home to after being on the mission field. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's what I want my children to realize. That's the picture I want to paint for them. I don't want them to grieve going to the house of God. I don't want them to think that it's a place to where that, you know, that they can't be themselves, that they have to be some kind of adult because they're not an adult. I want them to realize that here I love them and everybody loves them. I'm glad that we got a church where these kids can be kids and that we can love them just the way that they are. And we can let them grow up. And sure, you know, sometimes you got to discipline them. And sometimes you got to teach them. And sometimes they got to grow up. But hey, I'm glad that, you know, we ain't putting no kind of expectation on them. And we ain't sending them out to some kid's church or children's church to just let them stay in their adolescence. But we're sending them in here with the adults. We're giving them some milk and we're giving them some meat. And they're growing with us. Amen.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. But in my personal life, I also want to also depend on God. I want to depend on God in raising my children. I want to have an absolute dependence in His grace and His mercy. I want to pray for them. I want to cover them in prayer. I've seen so many young folks that was stood at the church every time the doors was open, and they was at Bible school every time, and their mom and dad is praying. They prayed with them. And I'll tell you, honestly, I think that they's probably better Christians than I am. And I've seen people raise their kids like that, and then their kids not stay in church. And so, like I said, you know, if it can happen to them, it can happen to me. And so at the end of the day, I have to say, Lord, I throw up my hands and I give it all to You, because it's out of my hands.
Yes.
I want to do the best I can to raise them right, to teach them right. But at the end of the day, I know I'm a failure, God.
Yeah.
And I know You're not a failure. And I just want to leave it in His hands. I want to have a dependence on Him when it comes to raising my children. And I'm sorry to go over that so heavily again, but I just wanted to. But verse 3 is where we want to start tonight. He said, "Though children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." I'm glad tonight that we've got a reward that we didn't earn or deserve. Amen.
Right. Amen.
I was talking about that Corvette. I promise you, hey, you can buy me 3 of them things, and 3 of them things wouldn't bring me as much pleasure as one of my kids.
Yeah.
That's the truth. You know what? Yeah. You couldn't buy one of them things. You couldn't pay for that. I love each and every one of them. I love them for who they are. They're all 3 different. I got 3 of them. They're all 3 different.
Yeah.
And I ain't never met another one like any one of them.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because Parker, you know, in some ways he's like me, and in some ways he's like his mama. And Cambry, in some ways, she's like me, and in some ways she's like her mama. And Sawyer, he's... bless his heart, he's not like his mama at all. But you know, they all 3 different, you know. And it just tickles me. It tickles me to see them develop and grow. And they ain't nothing, I swear to you, they ain't nothing better than coming home from work.
Yeah.
And walking in that door, and them 3 youngins come running, and they said, "Daddy," and they want to come give you a hug.
Yeah.
That tickles me to death. Or on Thursday morning, I'll be off work, or one day if I'm off or something, you know, and they come and they crawl in the bed with me, and they want to, you know, just climb all over Daddy. They want to snuggle up close to me. You know, I love that. That just tickles me to death. When we sit down on the couch, preacher watching TV or something, and they just come pile up on me, you know, and I get hot and I get stuffy, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, but you know, more often than not, I just let them sit there, and I'll sit with them, their little bony butts digging in my thigh and everything else, you know. Just because I enjoy having them close to me, you know. It just tickles me. There's something about that. It makes me happy. I even like it whenever my little girl says, "Daddy, I forgot my little beagle, stuffed beagle dog out in the van." And she says, "Will you watch me go get it?" She says, "I'm scared, Daddy. Will you watch me?" I said, "Honey, yeah, Daddy will watch you. If Daddy's here, ain't nothing going to get you, you know." It tickles me to just be their dad. It does. And I realize that's a reward. That God's given me, that ain't one I've earned, that's
right,
for sure.
Right.
It's not something that I somehow had done good enough to receive. That's a fact. But I thank God that He's a whole lot better to me than I am to Him.
Amen.
And He's a whole lot better to me than I deserve. Amen.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I deserve the opposite.
Yeah.
But we see that the Bible says that children are a reward. What about matter of fact, it says that they are the inheritance of the Lord. You remember that story about that prodigal son who had asked his father for his inheritance, and he'd give it to him. I think about how kind of a man that father must have been to give them that youngin that inheritance, just let him go. He must have had a tender heart. My kids, they gonna have to wait till I die to get anything of mine, because I ain't give them nothing for them. I can tell you that. Can't afford to give them nothing till then.
Yeah.
But matter of fact, they probably have to wait till mama dies, because you know she's a lot healthier than I am. Her family has a history of living to be over 100 anyway, so she might outlive them. Be like Drew Coleman over there, bless her heart. But in any case, you know, he'd give him that inheritance. And he went and he squandered it, you know. He'd come to his daddy and he'd ask for it. He'd ask for it before his time, you know, before it was time for him to receive an inheritance, you know. He wanted it before his time. And guess what? I didn't ask for any inheritance from God. I never asked for him to give me anything that I didn't deserve. And I think about Preacher Lacy was sinners out there today, and God's given them a blessing with children,
yes,
and the opportunity to be parents, and to have those little youngins, and to hold them, and to see them be brought into this world, and to have them, and to raise them, and to see them grow up. And you know, a baby is a precious thing, but I'll tell you, you know, they just get more and more precious the older they get, the more you see them develop, and they develop their own personalities, and their own characters, and it just blesses you. And the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. That means it's an inheritance of God. That means it's a treasure. That's a treasure of God. There's a treasure in having children. Amen. Hey, I'm going to say this day and time. This country, this nation we live in, they don't treasure children anymore. They treat children as if it's just some kind of byproduct, or if it's just some kind of, that a lot of people treat their children as if they're some kind of accessories.
Yeah.
They always want to use them to, you know, have something. I don't know what I don't even know how to explain it. They put them into, you know, sports and all this, not for the sake of the kid, but so that they can have some kind of something to post on Facebook about. It seems like to me, I don't know, but I'm saying a lot of folks, it seems like, do that kind of thing. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell you, we need to get back to a place where in the church, you know, I can't help what a lost man does. We can't help that.
Right.
But in the church, man, we need to really value these children.
Yes.
Don't grieve them. Be glad for them. Just think about how much different your life would be without them children. I know they stress you out. I know they drive you crazy. Mine do. As much as they're blessing to me, they probably get on my nerves more than anything in the world. They probably keep me on edge more than anything in the world. I'll tell you what. There's probably, I'd say, 50 or 60 people in this church that's here on a regular basis that I talk to at least, you know, once every, you know, a couple months or something outside of church. And you know, I try to keep up with everybody best I can and all. And you know what? Y'all raise them. You know what I mean? Them 3 out there, Lord of mercy. That's like, that drives you crazy. Pastoring ain't an easy gig, but parenting's a real hard gig. It is. And everybody that has kids has to do that.
Yeah.
And has to go through that.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
Right.
And guess what? I'm going to tell y'all something else too, in case you didn't know. When you see these moms and these people and these dads and say they just got it together, and you know they're you're seeing that on Facebook or something, and that's a highlight reel.
Yeah.
That ain't the whole story.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Guess what? That mom, if she gets mad, she screams too. And that daddy, every now and then, he breaks the table over to one of them's head too. You know? And mom and daddy gets in fusses, and the kids see it too. And everything else, you know why? Because we're all people and we're all broken.
Yeah.
And don't go believing in highlight reels, okay?
Right.
Them kind of things is just, that's fairy tales. That's stuff for Hallmark movies, okay?
Yeah.
That ain't real life, amen? The reality is that we're all broken.
Yes.
The reality is that we are all depraved, amen?
Yeah.
But guess what? You and I are Christians. And guess what we have? That they don't, a lot of folks don't got, we got the Holy Ghost of God living inside of us.
Yes.
And so you know what? We can grow and we can become better at this through God's word and through prayer and through dependence on God.
Yeah.
And having Him at the center. Yeah. See, that's His inheritance. Meaning that He expects us not to waste it like the prodigal son did, but to use it beneficially, to grow it. Now, he says this, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. I want to turn to Ephesians 6 real quick. Ephesians 6. Notice this. In chapter 1, I'm sorry, in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, it starts out, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and thy father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then it goes say your father's broke up your children. And it talks about family.
Yeah.
And then it gets to verse number 10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Sounds like it's talking about having the dependence on God.
Yeah.
And in the power of his might. Why? Because we don't really have any power of our might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I've preached on this before. Most of y'all are familiar with this scripture, right?
Yeah.
He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Like I said, we don't have politicians as enemies. We have the devil.
Right.
As the enemy, right? Bible says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now you're talking about a fully equipped soldier, right? That is a soldier. And here he is, a single unit. And he's standing and he's fully equipped.
Yeah.
And he's got his helmet. He's got his breastplate. He's got his shield. He's got his shoes on. He's got his belt. And he's got his sword.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the soldier can only fight the one that's standing in front of him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Come here, Richard Matthew. Would you come here just a second? I don't hurt you. We're going to do some slow motion combat here. All right, this is, I didn't put that on you. I'm spiritual wickedness. And this is the fully equipped armor of God right here. Okay? So I'm flinging them fiery darts, and he's a blocking.
Right.
And he's got his word of God,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to combat me. But now, he wants to get Brother Jesse back there. All right? He wants to reach him,
mm-hmm.
because there's some more spiritual wickedness. He drives a Ford, by the way. And he's got to get back there, but he's here.
Right.
He's here. So how does he do it? Silas, where are you at? Come here, run, honey. Come here. Come here. You love Jesus, don't you, sweetie? You know why? It's because mom and daddy raised you to love Jesus, and they brought you to the house of God, and they taught you the word of God. Ain't that a blessing? Guess what? Daddy wants you to go tell Jesse back there that you love Jesus and that Jesus loves him. Run back there and tell him. You see what that is? That's an arrow.
Amen.
While he's sitting here with the sword, and he's doing the fight, he can't reach back there. And he can't reach into the future 20 years from now and the people that's going to be around. But guess what? When a soldier wants to reach over a wall they can't get to, when a soldier wants to reach a target, when they want to fight long range, they pick up the bow. And they get theirs. See, the fully equipped man of God is right here. He's got on the helmet. He's got on the breastplate and the shield. He's got the sword. He's got the belt. He's got his feet shod in preparation. But he can't fight with what's in front of him. But now, you get this bonus armor. Amen? It's kind of like in a video game when you reach a new level. They get this bonus armor, this heritage of God, this reward of God, the Bible says. But it says they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And whenever they're brought up in the house of God and they're taught to love Jesus, guess what? Now you're able to send out your own darts, amen. Not ones of fire, but ones of light that are able to spread the gospel, amen. And to share that with another generation. Thank you, soldier. Appreciate you. But we see that not only is this a reward, but it's a weapon.
Amen.
Amen. So not only do we have the word of God, but we got them kids too.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know if I want to get my kids involved in those kind of warfare. I do.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You know why? Because they're already involved in it.
Yes.
I don't want them to be defenseless.
Right.
I don't want them to be
the principalities and powers and proclaim the truth of God's word unashamed, amen. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and salvation.
Yes.
I'm gonna tell you right now, we got too many jello backbone Christians this day and time. They ain't willing to stand for the word of God. I'm talking about we'll overlook a multitude of sins to keep from offending anybody or getting into any kind of entanglement with anybody. Hey, I want to say this. The truth of God is what saves, amen. It ain't by petting somebody to death. It ain't by just giving them a pat on the back. Hey, you can't beat them over the head with that book. That don't help nobody. But you can tell them the truth. You can tell them that Jesus loves them. You can tell them that there's a place called hell and that all sinners, all fornicators and liars and drunkards and everybody that goes against God, against His word, is going to die one day. And they're going to stand before that day of judgment. And they'll be cast into a lake of fire to burn for eternity and all of eternity. And the only way of escape of that is to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He came into this world to die for sinners. I'm glad that He came to die for each and every one of us. Hey, I'm telling you here tonight that in a person been born into this world that Jesus did not die for, hey, I'm glad that He came and He called me out of darkness and into the light. And guess what? I've been given the privilege, the opportunity to fight a good fight, hey, to lay down roots and to stand on that rock, on that solid rock. I've took the high ground. I've got on the armor and I can fight the fight, amen. And I'm glad I get to be a part of that. It's a blessing to me. And hey, I will say that I'm glad tonight that God's given me some arrows to send out to where that I can't reach. I want to train up some soldiers. I want them to be ready to fight. I want them to go out into that world and to present the gospel, to be a light and to be salt everywhere that they go.
Amen.
That's my prayer for my children every day.
Amen.
He says this, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them.
Amen.
They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It's good to have children. It's good to have more than one if you can.
Yeah.
You take whatever God blesses you with, but
right.
I believe that God teaches this, that the more the merrier, as happy as the man has his quiver full of them. It's never something to be looked at as a burden. You say, well, I can't afford it. Has God not provided thus far?
Yes, amen.
Could you afford the first one? No. You couldn't afford it either, could you? Or I shouldn't say it. Here I am preaching. It's that kind of mess. I'm saying it. You couldn't afford them either, could you?
Right.
But God made a way. And then you had the second one or the third one or whatever, and God made a way, you know?
Yep.
And that's just the way it is. But we ought to never look at children as a burden.
Right.
I remember these people, you know, as people tried to tell me whenever we was going to have Parker, you know, but they tried to get me to look at it like it's just going to be a burden. Mm. And I just refused, you know.
Yeah.
I just wasn't going to do that, you know, and it's a blessing. And it's so much a blessing to me, I about heard my wife crazy. She wanted to have some, you know, time to herself or whatever, ourselves, you know. Without all these visitors and stuff, I just called everybody over there. I was like, come look at this baby. You know, I was like, we had a boy. I was like, come look at this baby. You know, I want everybody to see. I wouldn't even hold him. I wouldn't even hold him. I would, but not much. It scared me because it's so little, it's so fragile, you know. When they get up, where they standing up right, and they're good, you know. But I'm always afraid they're going to fall apart whenever I hold them or something, you know. I don't know. I'm so big and clunky, you know, I'm afraid I'll hurt them, you know. But in any case, I was tickled to death. And I'm still tickled to death. And I've been tickled every time we've had one, you know.
Yes.
Seems like Stephanie, every time we have a yogi, she calls crying. And she'd be all upset, you know, just like she's, you know, overwhelmed. What are we going to do, you know? And I'm like, I'll be all right, you know. And, you know, I believe now she And I don't know about my man, but always she's seen blessing them as well.
Yeah.
But that's what the Bible says, it says, happy are they, have a quiver full of arrows. It says they're not ashamed. You know, they ain't nothing can bring more shame as a Christian than, you know, I've seen preachers and pastors go through times where they've had youngins that's got out in the world and lived in sin, and, you know, it's just been hurtful to them.
Yeah.
You know, it is. And they were good men, had good wives, they raised their children right.
Yeah.
They raised them to love God.
Yeah.
They're still able to be captured for a time by Satan. And I've seen some of them come back around. That's a blessing.
Yes.
To see those redemption stories.
Hey.
The Bible says that you're not ashamed whenever that you got a quiver full of arrows, weapons, ones that are intended to fight the enemy.
Hey.
So my encouragement to you would be this, to teach them kids to fight, to have a dependence on God, because at the end of the day, you can do all you can and you still won't fail. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you think, well, if I do this and I do this and I do this, I'm okay. That's not the case.
Right.
I used to have that mentality for a time. I remember, what was it, honey, about how long ago has it been now? 6 years we've been homeschooling. Yeah, about 6 years ago. I remember about that first couple of years, I remember thinking, well, if I homeschool, I'll be all right. You know, or if I make sure I take them to church, it'll be all right. Or if I don't let them play video games, it'll be all right. But then, as soon as you do that, the Lord will let you meet somebody that ain't all right, that their mom and daddy done them that way. And I'm like, man, at the end of the day, you just got to depend on God.
Yes, amen.
That's why the psalmist starts out here and says, except the Lord build the house.
Yes.
You do it in vain. So like I said, by all means, sharpen them arrows. By all means, raise them kids to be the weapons that you can send out where you can't reach. But also know this, that it's in God's hands. Put your trust in Him. Pray for them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I'd encourage every mom and dad that's here tonight to come tonight, pray and say, God, watch over my kids. More than anything, Lord, I want you